will never end.
So whatever may come, when it's all said and done, God's word will stand.
From the beginning till now, it has not lost its power. It is still God's inerrant word. Cover to cover, it's still the best seller of any book in the world.
Written down in those pages are the answers for the nations and the truths that will guide their lives.
But whatever they decide, they will surely realize that God's word will stand. Oh, I've
taken my stand with the book in my hand
that has
stood the test of time.
It's
weathered the storm while scoffers roared, threatenings of every kind.
The eternal survival of that old black Bible, its truth, it will never end.
So whatever may come, when it's all said and done, God's word will stand.
Oh,
I've taken my stand with the book in my hand
that has
stood the test of time. It's weathered the storm of scoffers roar, threatenings of every kind.
The eternal survival of an old King James Bible, its truth, it will never end.
So whatever may come, when it's all said and done, God's word will stand.
So
whatever may come, when it's all said and done, God's word will stand. God's word will stand.
Thank you. Good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning, and you are in Bethel Baptist Church, amen. And we have gotten a lot done, praise the Lord. A lot of work has been done, and got some of the hardest working people ever. Praise God for them, and God's really blessed and worked and moved, and we're so excited about today. We're just going to praise the Lord for all He's done in the past 70 years, and look forward to what the Lord's going to do in the next 70. So thank you so much for being here this morning. We have the Davisons with us, and Brother Raspberry and the quartet from our witness from Heartland. I have Brother Stowe with us, and my father-in-law. I guess I have to mention my mother-in-law. Yeah, I do. Praise the Lord. But we're going to have a word of prayer and get started this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you this morning. Dear Father, we certainly love you, and God, we're so thankful that you love us. And God, I pray that you might do a work in our hearts and lives this morning. God, thank you for placing this church here over 70 years ago, and God, the gospel and the truth of the Word of God has gone forth from this platform for many years, and God, I pray that it might continue to do so, and thank you for those that are here this morning. God, I thank you for all those that have been part of our church for the past 70 years, but the ones that have been part of it now, and God, that give and work so hard and pray and support and do the bus routes and the Sunday school classes. Thank you so much for that. But God, I pray that you might meet with us this morning and that you might accept our thankfulness and gratitude for who you are and for what you've done. And I pray that you might bless the whole day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Turn to page 172. We'll sing the first and last verses of Just Over in the Glory Land. And then we'll have witness come and sing for us. Page 172.
I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land. With the blood war strong, I will shout and sing, just over in the glory land. Glad hosannas to Christ the Lord and King, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land.
Thank you. May be seated. Come on up, witness. And as soon as Brother Witness sing their two songs, Brother Stowe, if you'll come and preach, do the Sunday school lesson. Appreciate Brother Stowe. His wife grew up in our church, and we kind of had a rough start, me and him. Don't ever hate somebody because you'll end up working with them. But now he's one of my closest friends, and I appreciate him. He's one of the three men that signed the ordination, my Bible, and he had me ordained at his church, and I'm so glad to have him. And so you come and preach for us, do the Sunday school lesson, and then we'll do the morning service.
Thank you. All right, what a blessing it is to be here. And isn't this beautiful? I mean, God and God's people working together can do great things. It is absolutely beautiful. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. And I'll encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 13, if you would. Proverbs chapter 13, the book of Proverbs. Brother Swope and I go back lots of years. First time I met him, I hated him. In fact, I guess I hated him for a couple of years. And then I really hated him when I got married here and his daddy did our wedding. And I was in the back there trying to change clothes, and somebody took my clothes. And for a long time, I was stuck back there. I did not appreciate that. I thought of 10,000 ways that I'm going to strangle that boy. So I felt like the Lord really gave me a good opportunity when we called him to be our youth director. So he had years of painful ministry with Pastor Tim Stowe. And you know, it was a love affair, Brother Swope. I love that guy dearly. I love him dearly. If the Lord tarries and I get to go to heaven, I'd like for him to preach my funeral. I told him, I said, I only have one requirement. He said, what's that? I said, I got to have somebody crying at my funeral. Somebody's got to cry. Somebody's got to have a tender heart. You know, in some funerals that I have done, it's almost as if the grandkids stood up and clapped that their pawpaw was in heaven because of the rough person that he was on earth. But anyway, Brother Swope is one of my dearest friends, and I love him with all my heart, love his wife and family, and it's a blessing to be here, and it's an honor to be here. If you have your Bibles now, and you ought to have your Bibles, this is Sunday school, so I need to get there is what I need to do. And then we'll all be on the same page. All right. And Proverbs chapter 13, look with me at verse 22. Verse 22. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. A good man. You know, in the Bible, good and godly are often interchanged, same thing. A godly man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. The thought occurred to me is, what will you pass down when you are gone? What will you pass down when you pass on? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you'll help me to say what needs to be said. Open up our eyes, our hearts, our ears, and Lord, help us to receive with gladness the things from your word. May thy will be done, and I pray that we would be ever so sensitive to the promptings and the moving and the direction of the Holy Spirit, that he would have full control of everything said and done. May thy will be done, in Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 7, not Proverbs 7, but Ecclesiastes 7, verse 11, the Bible says, wisdom is good with an inheritance. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. You know, I've had problems through the years trying to define the difference between heritage and inheritance. Heritage refers to something that is passed down from generation to generation who have passed on, such as traditions and customs and values. Inheritance refers to the act of receiving property, money, or assets passed down from someone who has passed on. Now, there is a difference, yet when we pass on, what will we pass down? Now, in recent months, I've thought more about heaven than I have all my young, youthful years. As you get older, it seems like, you know, more of your friends are there, family's there. Other people that were in far better health than you are there. And you're wondering, am I next to go? And so I was diagnosed with cancer, with prostate cancer. And the doctor said it was an aggressive kind. It likes to hide and whatnot. So I, at that time, it's a funny thing. He told me on Wednesday morning, Wednesday night, I preach, set your house in order. And that was what the Lord had led me to preach. And so we preached that night. And so I started trying to set my house in order with my wife and just take care of business. And also for the church. You know, when you don't know what kind of future you're going to have, you're Every day you're trusting the Lord, just trusting the Lord. And it hadn't been determined just how cancerous I was. They just had determined that a part of me was cancerous. And so I was fixing to take a big test that would show if I have cancer and where it was, and I'd light up like a light bulb. And I was prepared for that to be the case. And you know, I've been preaching for a lot of years, God's grace is sufficient. Did you know that it works for the preacher as well? Learning that God's grace is sufficient. When do you learn that? When do you learn that God's grace is sufficient? When you need it. That's when you learn it. Otherwise, it's just talk. And so we got to believe what the Bible says and practice it. And so I was trying to do all that, just practicing, preaching, and I tried to comfort many people through the years. You know, a pastor is a pastor, and his responsibility is to give comfort. His responsibility is to encourage. His responsibility is to exhort. Now, who exhorts the exhorter? Who comforts the comforter? Who encourages the encourager? And so we don't have someone that is designed to do that, but we are designed to do that for you because that's what God called us to do. And there is a difference between a preacher and a pastor. Some pastors can't hardly preach, but they're pastors. Some preachers can't pastor. That's why they're preachers. They're bragged about their preaching. But they're not bragged about on their skills of pastoring. You've got a pastor with a pastor's heart. I've known that for a lot of years. This is his 15th, completed 15 years, going into the 16th year of being pastor of this church. I love this man. He can't hardly pray over this church without tears coming to his eyes. Folks, you've got a pastor. I hope you appreciate it. So often people just take things for granted until it's no longer there. And then you wish you had what you used to have. Take advantage of what you have. Praise God for it. Encourage the encourager. Comfort the comforter. Be there for him. And so in recent months, I've been thinking about all this. We took that big exam and the doctor said, well, you're not lit up, but this type of cancer hides. So every 3 months I take tests and whatnot. And so far I went through the first one. They said, okay, looks good. But you know, you just don't know. I got a little sore spot here. I wonder if that's cancer. Man, I got a twitch back here. I wonder if that's cancer. And you know, it's incredible what comes to your mind during things like that. But the thought kept coming to my mind is, what will you pass down when you pass on? And I've had a problem with defining heritage with inheritance, but I've got it down now. What would you like for others to say about you when you pass on? I'd like for somebody to cry. Even if I have to hire beforehand, I want somebody to cry, okay? I would like for people to think of me with a smile on their face. You see, even in the most tragic moments of my life, I make light of those things for me. And I make a joke about it. My wife don't always laugh. She said, that's not funny. That's not funny. My daughter's same way. That's not funny. That's not funny. And I said, I've just got one request. That's all you have to do when I die. I want you to kiss my cold, dead brow. Daddy, I can't do that. I can't do that. Of course, I'm just teasing. And it's a joke to me. And so I heard this little statement years ago, and I've kind of revised it, but I'd like for this to be thought about when I get to go see the Lord. Remember me with smiles and laughter. That's the way I'll remember you all. If you cannot smile and laugh, please don't remember me at all. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And so we have a rendezvous with death. And it doesn't matter how young you are. Where's Maddie at? Where's Maddie? There's Maddie. Her cousin, Molly. How are y'all about the same age? About 2 years ago, she tragically was killed. Tragically was killed, her cousin. And it could have been Maddie. It could have been anybody. Graveyards are full of just all ages. You don't have to be old to die. But the older we get, the more we think about it. Heaven's sounding sweeter to me all the time. Death is part of life. The older I get, the more death I see. There are seven ages of man. Spills, chills, thrills, bills, ills, pills, and wills. Sooner or later, we will die, and after that, the judgment. Three and a half years ago, there was a young lady, just 15 years old in the local high school, and she passed away suddenly, just dropped dead. And she was a very sports-minded young lady. She was in all the sports and everything like that. And her name was Casey. And her life verse was Romans 8:28. She was not a member of our church, but she knew my family well simply because her coach was my son. He coaches at the local high school. And that was her life verse. She lived and died by that verse. On her homegoing celebration, there were hundreds that attended. Food was served, memories were shared, laughs were plentiful, and tears flowed. Casey Rivers refused inactivity. She knew for a long time that the last seizure, any seizure, could be her last one. But she refused to let that stop her, and she was active in all kinds of things. When she passed away, her organs and tissues were donated to help others. This young lady left a mark on people's lives, hundreds of people's lives. I was able to preach to students and coaches and teammates, her parents. It affected us all. What will you pass down when you pass on? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, the Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou sittest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. And they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and upon thy gates." What will you pass down when you pass on? Will it be some spiritual values? The type of home that we're talking about here is everywhere possible. You can look from outside and see the effects of God. You can look on the inside and see the effects of God. And what will you pass down when you pass on? Will it be a love for our King James, beloved King James Bible? I tell you, in this day and age where they're trying to rewrite it, they don't need to rewrite it. They need to reread it. The Bible is not inspired in spots, and we're inspired to spot the spots. The Bible is the complete, inerrant, infallible Word of God, and we ought to love that which God loves. God loves His words. We ought to have a love for the church. That's another spiritual value that we can pass on. When we pass on, we can pass down a love for the church, a love and commitment for the church. We don't stay home when relatives come. We've left relatives at home many a time going to church, and we'll tell them we'll be home just as we always invite them to come to church. We have people that will not visit us simply because we'll go to church. And we love them. We love them. They're just wrong. They're just broken. They need to be fixed. God's word can fix anybody. That's what they need to be, is fixed. And we love them. But we're not going to stay home just because they show up. It just doesn't matter. We're not going to do it. I dealt with the family. The whole family stayed home because they were deworming the dog. Can you imagine how wonderful that's going to stand, standing before God when God says, why did you stay home from church? Oh, we were deworming the dog. Well, what happened to the dog? It died. Wonder if the Lord might have had a hand in that. You know, God can remove these hindrances that hinder us from doing the will of God. And it is the will of God for us to attend the assembly of ourselves together. All right, do we have a love for lost souls? There's a world full of lost people. The mission field begins outside these doors. What a blessing it is to see how many tens of thousands of people have been given tracts and invited to the Bethel Baptist Church by this church. There ought to be a love for God, a love for others, and a love for the things of God. Will you pass down spiritual values? Secondly, will you pass down a godly example? We see that the Lord gave us an example that we should follow in His steps. When going through trials, do we control our mouth? You know, it's really funny because I've been a pastor now for 42 years. And being in the ministry this long, I have seen a lot of things. I'll stand at the back of the door when people are going through. And boy, I tell you what, I'm a mom and dad. They've got a big old smile on their face. They pat you on the back. And the kids come through and they're looking at you strangely. What's the interpretation of that? What do you think they have on Sunday afternoons? They have roast preacher. They're saying all these incredible things about the pastor or about the godly people at church that are doing something, not the folks that are not doing anything, but they're saying something about the people that are doing something for God. And the children are sitting down and they may not participate in the conversation, but they're hearing things that they shouldn't be hearing. Is it any wonder to you that when they get of age, they don't want to go to that church? Their parents are hypocrites. They go to church and look like a saint. They go home. They ain't. And so children grow up with that type of environment. So why would they want to play the hypocrite and go to church and not like it? I believe that we ought to follow in the steps of our God. The Bible says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. When Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. When suffering, he did not threaten them. He says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Do we believe God? If we believe God, then we don't have to balance the books here. God's going to take care of that. All we have to do is have that sweet attitude that Jesus had on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe that it's the will of God for us to be Christ-like, always Christ-like. To be Christian is to be Christ-like. They were first called Christians at Antioch. Why? Because they were Christ-like. God's people need to be Christ-like. I've seen lost people on their way to hell that's more Christ-like than some saved people that I know. That ought not be the case. There ought to be a burning desire in our heart to be like Christ. He's the example that He set forth. See, I believe that we need to pass down a godly example. I believe that we ought to kindly treat and love our spouse. You ever done a word study on the word kind? Kind? I did recently, and it just fascinated me. Kind used to be spelled K-I-N, like kin folks. And so then later on, they added a D to it to represent doing good. So when you're kind, you treat somebody like family that you're doing good for. Kindness. And the Bible tells us to be kind. A moment of anger can ruin a lifetime of joy. Be an example of controlling that anger. Be angry, but sin not. The wrath of man can destroy a lifetime of wonderful things that you've done for the glory of God. A moment of anger. So we've got to keep that under control. That would be something good to pass down, is that control. Dad, how come you didn't get angry? Oh, I am angry, but I'm just not going to sin. Be angry, but sin not. I think we also need to learn how to get over things easily. Not difficult, easily. When the spouse says, can you find it in your heart to forgive me? You don't respond to that 3 days later. That's a real problem in the home. When you ask God to forgive you, how fast does it take? As quickly as you mean it in your heart, He does it. He forgives. That's the example for us, is to forgive. Forgive. I believe that we ought to appreciate the moment. Things change quickly. The older I get, the more I see that life is one change after another change. You're not going to believe this, but it's true. I used to be an infant. And then I learned how to walk. And then I learned how to ride a bicycle. And then I learned how to drive a car. I'm so good at driving, I can drive my wife crazy. I mean, we're just good at it. And then you get to be a young adult. And you get married. That's a change. And then you have children. That's a change. And then they grow up and leave the nest. That's a sad change. Then you get grandkids. That's a change. Grandkids, they nearly break me is what they nearly do. I mean, me and my wife are very different. If I didn't allow her to have a strong say-so in some things, we'd be broke tomorrow. But our grandkids would be happy. I really think that we ought to appreciate the moment things change quickly. I think another thing that we ought to pass down is we ought to pass down the godly memories. You know, I have some good childhood memories and some bad ones. Has it ever occurred to you that your children will have them too? Will they have the memories of mom and dad fussing and fighting on special days? Birthdays, anniversary, Christmas, or whatever? I've talked to people and that's what they say. They say my memories of home is a battlefield. Folks, home ought not be a battlefield. It ought to be a playground. It ought to be a place of making memories. It ought to be where dads paint the toenails of his little girls. And mama makes cookies for her son and her husband, of course. I mean, it ought to be a place of memories. Doing things, going places. I think that we ought to remember now our Creator in the days of our youth. There's going to come a time that there's going to be some horrible days that you're going to experience if you hadn't experienced them already. Some young people have experienced some horrible, wicked, horrible days. But the older you get, the more you experience those things. The more in life you see. I found out that life goes from mountaintop to valley, mountaintop to valley, mountaintop to valley, mountaintop to valley. And that's a summation of what life is all about. Mountaintops and valleys, mountaintops and valleys. And I believe that during those times, we ought to remember there's a God in heaven that cares. I believe also we ought to remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works. I think that there's some important things that you and I ought to get right with God and do. The Bible says the memory of the just is blessed. I remember my mother tithing. I never had a problem with tithing simply because I had an example of that. Tithing wasn't an issue. Tithing was the right thing. Giving, tithing, giving, trying to be a blessing. I remember her efforts in having a Christian home. And she would get all of us together and she'd start praying. And I hated it. I wasn't saved. I was a mess. And I would, while she's praying. And she's weeping to the Lord about trying to be that godly mother. And I'm over there being a real jerk. I remember my mother dragging me to church. Literally dragging me to church, grabbing me and pulling me through the door. You know how difficult it is when the boy has one hand on one side of the door, other hand on the other side of the door? One foot on that side, one foot on that side, and my poor old mother trying to drag me through. Well, if she got me through and never let go of me, I climbed the tree, and there I was safe until it was supper time. Those are some memories of my mother trying to do some things. Your kids are going to grow up and have some memories of the home that they've experienced. There's going to be some good memories. There's going to be some bad memories. I think we ought to make fun things fun for the family during dull times. Family vacations are good memories to make. Telling your kids stories about your life and life experiences. Once you die, history's lost forever. I think you ought to develop dad jokes. I mean, they're out there. Make them laugh. While taking my kids to school, we would sing Bible verse songs. I'd say, it's Marvelous Monday. They go, duh. I say, it's Tremendous Tuesday. They go, duh. I say, it's Wonderful Wednesday. I say, it's Thrilling Thursday. It's Fabulous Friday. It's glory. It's Sweet Saturday. Hey. Yeah, they remember the. I can start it and they'll finish it for me. I tell stories and they can finish. They're mouthing the finish of that story. I was so poor, the poor people called me poor. So when I say, and I was so poor, they go, call me poor. Has it ever occurred to you that some of the things that we do isn't because we're half senile at 40 and 50 years of age? We're making memories for the kids. My daddy, he was a nut. He used to say this. And then you find out as they get older that they're doing some of the very same things that you did. Will you pass down some godly memories, some good memories? Will you pass down work ethics? What man lets his wife do all the working? What real man? I didn't say what male, what real man. You know, it ought to be the nature of every boy to aspire to be like his dad. A provider, a protector. Someone that realizes that one day the responsibility will be upon his shoulders. And he's there to provide and protect for his family. What a blessing it is to have a wife when things turn around, the health turns around, and the husband cannot provide, like he just can't do it. But she steps in, and with God's help, they get the job done. What a blessing for that. But I believe that making your children and learning, teaching them how to work will help them in a lot of ways. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not unto men. The Bible says, he became poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Hard work achieves wealth. The Bible says, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Children need to be taught to work. I started a lawn business when my son was growing up to teach him some work ethics. We also did work for some older people. There's this real old lady. She was 70 years old. Boy, I used to think that was real old, but and she had this funny voice, and she only had one leg. And she's probably one of the wealthiest people in Beeville. Didn't live like it, and certainly didn't look like it. And so my son would say, "Dad, why are we doing this so well?" I said, "Because our name is attached to whatever we do." And then she'd say, "Timmy," and she'd hobble over there on one leg and whatever else, I guess a crutch. She'd say, "Timmy, I need you to do this, 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 and this." And he'd think, "Well, how much more are you going to pay us?" And then when it came to get paid, I said, "Well, let's just charge her half of what we charge everybody else." "Why? She's as wealthy as she can possibly be." I said, "She's an old lady. She's a widow lady. She's handicapped. And we're going to respect that. One of these days, your mother might be an old lady, might be handicapped, might not have a husband, and she might need some help. So you do for others what you want done for yourself." That's what the Bible teaches us. You give and it shall be given. You sow good and you reap good. You'll be a blessing and you get a blessing. I believe that we should never expect others to do for us what we can do for ourselves. I believe another thing that we ought to pass down is a passion for God. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. I believe that the family will know if there's a genuine thirst and hunger for the things of God. If they can see there's a righteous desire in your heart. It just blesses my heart when my adult kids say things about me. And it's not prompted at all. It's just, there might be a little letter sent to me. There might be just whatever. And they're saying some things. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm glad that's what they see. And I'm glad that's what they're thinking. I believe that we ought to do our best to teach our family to hunger and thirst after God. I shared that with Maddie's grandpa, Brother Glenn Yoder, and her great-grandfather was a part of our church. They were Amish. They've got some interesting stories. And I shared that with her grandfather, Glenn Yoder. And I said, Brother Glenn, I said, I'm trying my best to help these folks to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to thirst. And I emphasize thirst. He said, well, you know what we do to horses when we want to get them to drink water, don't you? I said, don't have any idea what you do with horses. He said, we feed them some salt. He said, give them some salt that will help them to thirst after the things of God. Oh, if we can just help to develop in our children a hunger and thirst for the things of God. And quickly, will you pass down a love for God's kind of music? Don't you love this music this morning? There's more of it. There's a worldly type music out there that causes the body to jerk and jump and beep and this and that. May have some God's words in it, but it certainly isn't God's music. And it's so sad that so many of our young folks are suckered into that. And then they develop a habit of hearing that all the time. And once they hear that all the time, I mean, it's at stores, it's here, it's there. Everywhere you go, they hear that all the time. Then when they come to church, they get bored with the singing, the hymns, the old-fashioned hymns that stir the heart and changes lives. Boy, when you get Jesus in you and the old devil out of you, those old-fashioned hymns become real special. I believe that we ought to help to develop and to pass down a love for God's kind of music, Psalm 150. Music comes from the word muse. Muse means to think on it, to meditate, to think about some things. God's music creates a worship attitude, not a dance of the flesh. God's music isn't patterned after rock and roll and country beer and bar room style. God's music causes you to pause, to muse, to think, and praise the Lord. Question I have is, eventually we're going to die. I hope that you're planning on going to heaven. And you will go to heaven if you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's not in baptism. It's not in rituals that good people do. It's not any of that. It's putting your trust in Jesus, inviting Him into your heart to be your Savior. And when you do that, and you put those values and left those values for the people that you know and the people that you love and the children and family that you have, it will make the world a better place. How will your life affect others? How will your life help others to Christ? Will your life encourage others to be Christ-like? Will you pass down your faith and family values? We're going to die. That's the reality of life. It's going to happen unless the Lord returns and raptures us before that moment of death. But if He tarries, we're going to die. We have a rendezvous with death. It is appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. What will you pass down when you pass on? Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these dear people. Thank you for the wonderful occasion that Bethel Baptist Church has. And we just pray that you'll continue to lead them to greener pastures and do greater and more glorious things. Thank you for the wonderful history. And thank you for the opportunity of just keeping on, keeping on. Please bless the pastor. Bless this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.